Welcome to the Writer's Reverie Podcast. I'm Catherine Ross, sharing with you the enriching power of story. This is episode number 22. Whatever you may be listening in today at the Writer's Reverie, think a cozy corner with a cup of tea and join me for some fair words, insights, all good things, and beauty. This month, I'd like to open one of my favorite vintage reads, and hope you have A Dickens of a Christmas. Charles Dickens, a name synonymous with Christmas and the staple of literary characters related to the season, Ebenezer Scrooge, Jacob Marley, Bob Cratchit, and Tiny Tim. I have my collected editions of A Christmas Carol displayed for the festivities this year, as always. In a quiet moment during the holidays, I steal aside to my reading corner with a cup of tea or hot chocolate and browse through the varied editions, from pop-up book to annotated and illustrated to an original handwritten facsimile to antique volumes. Dickens is credited with penning the imagery of the idyllic Victorian celebration of Christmas, a day he took great joy in with his own family. His accounts in many of his works include similar recordings of wassail bowls, after-dinner games, pantomimes, dancing, gift-giving, and the warmth of family gatherings. Victorian readers first experienced a Dickens Christmas in the book that propelled him to worldwide fame, The Pickwick Papers. Published in 1836 through 1837 as a monthly serial narrative filled with trademark character types, settings, satirical wit, and humor, Dickens introduced literacy and a love of literature to the lower classes. His accurate depictions of life lived in the streets, in debtors' prisons, in middle-class homes, and among the upper crust in society, appealed to the masses, be they high or low-born. Societal injustice did not escape the sharpness of his pen, which sketched, through story, harsh truths as it attempted to resolve them through profound Christian charity. The world at the time, for all its error, still functioned within a biblical worldview. High and low-born happily plucked down a halfpenny for a periodical to follow the continued exploits of Mr. Pickwick and his intrepid trio of gentlemen friends making their way through the countryside, while keeping a sporting journal of their epic adventures and misadventures. Reading aloud Dickens' work among the illiterate stirred desires to become self-proficient in the skill. Installments were eagerly anticipated, and fans developed throughout Britain and across the sea in America. It is of consequential note to recognize that Dickens never wrote down to his audiences. His elevated language and vocabulary would not be altered for a perceived target audience with little literary prowess. For instance, the premise of the Pickwick Papers regards the noble Samuel Pickwick Esquire, esteemed leader of the Society of the Pickwick Club, who determined it to be appropriate to entertain a lively sense of the inestimable benefits which must inevitably result from carrying the speculations of that learned man into a wider field, from extending his travels, and consequently enlarging his sphere of observation to the advancement of knowledge and the diffusion of learning. The quoted excerpt here is only half of a full sentence made up of 94 words in Dickensian splendor. A loquacious writer, to be sure, and with good reason. His works were published in weekly periodicals, a chapter at a time, his payment forthcoming per word. In the conclusion of the series, all the chapters were bound into one volume and sold as a novel in bookstores. 6 years after his mad success with the Pickwick Papers, he penned a 5-chapter ditty as a special serial published in November and December of 1843, A Christmas Carol. It has been a recurring holiday favorite, falling out of vogue only during the traumatic years of World War I and the heyday of the 1920s. It gained an invigorated new life in the 1930s when it was first made into a film and the world rediscovered Victorian England and Charles Dickens once again. However, I share here his first descriptions of Christmas in the Pickwick Papers. He enjoyed a generous use of personification even then, referencing Christmas as a living person rather than a mere day or event. This would be thoroughly explored in A Christmas Carol in the various spirits of Christmas. In fact, it is a very biblical way of presenting it, since Christmas is the embodiment of Jesus Christ, God made flesh and dwelling among us, the gift of God sent to repair lost mankind from the death penalty of sin. Christmas is a cause for remembrance and celebration, and Dickens pens nostalgia and festivity in such a way that you are drawn into the action at once, with every sense tickled and delighted. Here's a small portion of the Christmas chapter from the Pickwick Papers, in which even the title of the chapter appears to be worth at least a tuppence. Chapter 28, a good-humored Christmas chapter containing an account of a wedding and some other sports beside, which, although in their way, even as good customs as marriage itself, are not quite so religiously kept up in these degenerate times. Christmas was close at hand, in all his bluff and hearty honesty. It was the season of hospitality, merriment, and open-heartedness. The old year was preparing, like an ancient philosopher, to call his friends around him, and amidst the sound of feasting and revelry, to pass gently and calmly away. Yea, and merry was the time, and numerous indeed are the hearts to which Christmas brings a brief season of happiness and enjoyment. How many families whose members have been dispersed and scattered far and wide in the restless struggles of life are then reunited and meet once again in that happy state of companionship and mutual goodwill, which is a source of such pure and unalloyed delight, and one so incompatible with the cares and sorrows of the world, that the religious belief of the most civilized nations and the rude traditions of the roughest savages alike number it among the first joys of a future state of existence, provided for the blessed and the happy. How many old recollections and how many dormant sympathies does Christmas time awaken? Happy, happy Christmas that can win us back to the delusions of our childish days, that can recall to the old man the pleasures of his youth and transport the sailor and the traveler thousands of miles away back to his own fireside and his quiet home. When they were all tired of blind man's bluff, there was a great game at snapdragon, and when fingers enough were burned with that, and all the raisins gone, they sat down by the huge fire of blazing logs to a substantial supper and a mighty bowl of wassail, something smaller than an ordinary wash-house copper, in which the hot apples were hissing and bubbling with a rich look and a jolly sound that were perfectly irresistible. "This," said Mr. Pickwick, looking round home, "this is indeed comfort."
"Our invariable custom," replied Mr. Wardle. "Everybody sits down with us on Christmas Eve, as you see them now, servants and all. And here we wait till the clock strikes 12 to usher Christmas in and while away the time with forfeits and old stories. Trundle, my boy, rake up the fire."
Up flew the bright sparks in myriads as the logs were stirred, and the deep red blaze sent forth a rich glow that penetrated into the furthest corner of the room and cast its cheerful tint on every face.
"Come," said Wardle, "a song, a Christmas song. I'll give you one in default of a better."
"Ah, bravo," said Mr. Pickwick.
"Fill up," cried Wardle. "It'll be 2 hours good before you see the bottom of the bowl through the deep rich color of the wassail. Fill up all round, and now for the song."
Thus saying, the merry old gentleman in a good round sturdy voice commenced without more ado.
"I care not for spring. On his fickle wing let the blossoms and buds be born. He woos them amain with his treacherous rain, and he scatters them ere the morn. An inconstant elf, he knows not himself or his own changing mind an hour. He'll smile in your face, and with wiry grimace, he'll wither your youngest flower. Let the summer sun to his bright home run, he shall never be sought by me. When he's dimmed by a cloud, I can laugh aloud, and care not how sulky he be. For his darling child
is the madness wild that sports in fierce fevers train. And when love is too strong, it don't last long, as many have found to their pain. A mild harvest night by the tranquil light of the modest and gentle moon has a far sweeter sheen for me, I ween, than the broad and unblushing noon. But every leaf awakens my grief as it lies beneath a tree. So let autumn air be never so fair, it by no means agrees with me. But my song I troll out for Christmas stout, the hearty, the true, and the bold. I bumper, I drain with a might and a main. Give three cheers for this Christmas old. We'll usher him in with a merry din that shall gladden his joyous heart. And we'll keep him up while there's bite or sup, and in fellowship good we'll part. In his fine, honest pride, he scorns to hide one jot of his hard weather cars. There's no disgrace, for there's much the same trace on the cheeks of our bravest tars. Then again I sing till the roof doth ring, and it echoes from wall to wall, to the stout old wait, fair welcome to night, as the king of the seasons all. Now this song was tumultuously applauded, for friends and dependents make a capital audience, and the poor relations especially were in perfect ecstasies of rapture. Again was the fire replenished, and again went the vassal round. And again, as we welcome Christmas some 180 years after Mr. Pickwick and his party joined the Wardle family for Christmas festivities in an English country manor house, the hope of the season burns bright, warming our hearts from the cold grit of current events, like the crackling fire in Wardle's hearth, saying, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men. God is on his throne, and all will be righted in this weary world." Thanks for joining me today at the Writer's Reverie Podcast. I'm Catherine Ross. I hope you'll visit me blogging online at thewritersreverie.com. And don't forget to stop over at my books and writing website, Paget Wagon Publishing, where we're passionate advocates for the light of literacy through story, through his story, and the impact that intelligent, inspirational reading can have on your family's quality of life and learning. In my upcoming podcasts, I'll explore topics like this through the power of story and family literacy discipleship, ministering biblical truths to all ages, all at the same time. Subscribe online to thewritersreverie.com or pageantwagonpublishing.com. The podcast link will be delivered straight to your email inbox. Until next time, I pray you've been enriched through my fair words and insights, telling stories that lead to all good things and beauty. The Writer's Reverie podcast theme is titled Oak Park, composed by Rick Dickert, provided by freesoundtrackmusic.com. Today's podcast, Have Yourself a Dickens of a Christmas, is also featured in the December 2017 online issue of Ruby Magazine, now also available in print. I'm a contributing writer on the Ruby Magazine blogging team. Visit www.rubyforwomen.com to read this and more online, and order your print copy today on the link in this post. Enrich your life through this inspirational Christian women's magazine featuring devotionals, book reviews, home and garden tips, recipes, and more. Subscribe free at rubyforwomen.com. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about the best literary choices for family read-alouds, visit
pageantwagonpublishing.com to access my recommended reading list featuring over 300 titles from classic and contemporary literature that are sure to delight and enrich your family literacy lifestyle. Click on the Books tab and scroll down the menu to Miss Kathy's recommended reading list to find suggestions for all grade levels. For booking Katherine Ross as a speaker for your next women's or homeschool workshop, seminar, or conference, email Miss Kathy at info@pageantwagonpublishing.com. The Writer's Reverie Podcast, Episode 22, Have Yourself a Dickens of a Christmas by writer and storyteller Katherine Ross, is produced and sponsored by Pageant Wagon Productions, LLC. Copyright December 2017. All rights reserved.